Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a beautiful spring day, and it's an opportunity for you to call and get your health questions answered. 888-302-3684. Plus, if you listen, we've got lots of useful health tips for you. So let's delve in with today's first story. This week we interviewed Dr. B.H. Roberts. Dr. Barbara Roberts has written a book on statins in which she criticizes our overdependence on these drugs to reduce risk of cardiovascular disease. But the medical establishment is infatuated with statins. In fact, to the extent that fully one quarter of the U.S. population aged 45 to 70 is on statin drugs. Incredible statistic. So we took a look at some of the reasons that your doctor might put you on statins. And in the past, it used to be all based on LDL cholesterol. And that wasn't a particularly good way of assessing risk, because some people with high LDL cholesterol are not at risk. And some people with LDL, it seems to be acceptable, have other things that put them at high risk. So just using that was kind of a cookie-cutter way of discriminating whether you should be on a statin drug. We now recognize even people with normal cholesterol, they may be at high risk. So they came up with a cardiovascular risk tool. It's a plug-in. You put in your age, your sex, your race, your family history, your blood pressure, your history of diabetes, your cholesterol and LDL and triglycerides and your weight, and you mishmash all those things together, and you get an assessment of what's called your five-year risk, your five-year risk of getting a heart problem. Either having a heart attack or a stroke or dying from coronary artery disease. And if your risk is 7.5% or greater, that's the rule of thumb, then you're told to go on a statin. Now, according to those criteria, it's great for the pharmaceutical industry, because they took the millions of people who are already eligible for statins based on the LDL, and they added another 15 to 30 million people to the rolls, according to their risk assessment tool. So now that it's been in use for a couple of years, they've evaluated this risk assessment tool, and it's in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, so you can hardly call it into question. Headline: Cardiovascular Risk Tool Overestimates Actual Chance of Cardiovascular Events. And you can hear about this via our podcasts. Check out our podcast this week with Dr. Barbara Roberts. There's about 50 minutes of detailed discussion of this story. The study found that the actual incidence of heart attacks and strokes over 5 years was substantially lower than predicted by this nationally recommended risk calculator that the American Heart Association is behind and the AMA is behind. Everybody says this is the bomb for determining if you need a statin drug. And here's what they found. They looked at their predicted risk based on the questionnaire, and then they looked at what actually happened. So here's how it stacked up. For a predicted risk less than 2.5%, the actual incidence was 0.2%. That's a tenfold overestimation. For predicted risk between 2.5 and 3.74, the actual incidence was 0.65, which again is about maybe a sixth of the risk that was predicted. For predicted risk between 3.75 and 4.99, the actual incidence was 0.9. And for predicted risk equal to or greater than 5%, the actual incidence was 1.85%. So when they say you have a risk greater than 5% and your actual incidence is less than 2%, that vastly overestimates risk. So the lead researcher on the study said The overestimation is approximately 5 to 6-fold. Translating this, it would mean that we would be overtreating a good many people based on the risk calculator. Hey, have you discussed this with your doctor yet? I mean, this story got buried. Very few people talking about this. There's been a rush to judgment in adoption of these statin drugs as, something that we ought to be putting in the drinking water virtually to protect people from heart disease. And yes, there are instances, and I'm not one of these doctors who say never, ever should anyone be on a statin. There are instances where they do confer protection. For the vast majority of individuals, diet and exercise and natural supplements are acceptable alternatives to being on statin drugs. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's take a call now from Tony, who's in New Jersey. How you doing, Tony?
Oh, hi, doctor. Doctor, I had two questions. One was
You only get one because we got a lot of callers. So keep it to one.
Okay. Eggs. There was some report, and I'm not sure where it was, and it's been reported that, you know, more than 2.5 eggs a week had a 80% higher incident of or relationship to prostate cancer. Have you heard of anything about that, or is that?
Yeah, I did. That is a kind of a weird study because none of the other studies that look at consumption of animal protein and saturated fat and cholesterol have any association with prostate cancer. So I don't think that eggs are a proximate cause of prostate cancer. Sometimes in these studies, people who consume a lot of one thing are also consuming a lot of other things. So, for example, there are some studies that suggest that meat is a risk factor for heart disease or meat is a risk factor for cancer. But meat may be a marker for people who consume really poor quality diets overall. They consume, that's why it may appear that vegetarians who are super careful about diet may be careful about other aspects of their diet do better. It's hard to separate out some of the components. So I can't really tell you that eggs are the culprit. Yeah. And, okay. In fact, it's so confusing about prostate cancer because there's one study that purports that fish oil is associated with prostate cancer, but that study is so terribly flawed and so many other studies contradict it that we really can't rely upon it as a way of determining whether people are likely to get prostate cancer. One of the things for sure about prostate cancer is what drives prostate cancer is something called IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor. It's a growth factor for normal growth, but unfortunately it's also a growth factor for cancer. And what revs insulin-like growth factor, two things. One, excess carbohydrates, in particular refined carbohydrates, because they drive up insulin levels. And the other is just excess food in general. And in, some studies suggest that you can overdo it on protein, too, and drive up your insulin-like growth factor. Fat appears to be somewhat neutral when it comes to insulin-like growth factor, although the poor quality fats that people consume, a lot of fried junk food, those poor quality fats aren't probably good for the prostate. So there you have it. I mean, we can go on and on about some of these dietary debates, but eggs most certainly do not cause prostate cancer and are a healthy food to consume. 888-302-3684 is our number. All right, I exercise a lot, and I live in Manhattan, and I go out from my apartment on the Upper East Side, and I run along the East River in hopes of getting a little bit of fresh air. Sometimes the air quality is, frankly, kind of lousy here. And people sometimes say, well, why are you inhaling all that bad air? Isn't it worse for you to inhale the bad air than to garner the benefits of the exercise? So finally, there's a study looking at this, University of Cambridge in England. It turns out walking and cycling are good for health, even in cities with higher levels of air pollution. The health benefits of walking and cycling outweigh the negative effects on health of air pollution, even in cities with high levels of particulate matter, according to a new study. So what did they do here? Well, they looked at various cities. They looked at different environments. And what they found was that even in Delhi, one of the most polluted cities in the world, with pollution levels 10 times those in London, people would need to cycle over 5 hours per week before the pollution risks outweigh the health benefits. So now that in the West, at least, you know, the problem is much worse in the developing countries. Here in the more affluent industrialized nations, we've had terrible pollution. I grew up in Los Angeles, where there were some days where I remember as a kid, I would have pain in my chest from playing outside. And fortunately, they've dramatically reduced. They haven't eliminated, and it's still bad, but they have made major efforts to reduce the amount of smog and pollution in industrial regions of the U.S. The problem lies in big developing cities in Asia with incredible populations. I think New Delhi has 20-plus million people. Chinese cities, many of them have 10 or 20 million people. And people still burn coal fires, and industrial plants pour out smoke, and cars have no regulatory devices. And those are places where the pollution really poses a severe health problem to people who are exercising. 888-302-3684 is our number. Dr. Ronald Hoffman will be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
At Wakanaga of America, we have dedicated the past 44 years proudly producing Kyolic, the world's most scientifically researched, best-selling, and odorless aged garlic extract. We begin with 100% organically grown garlic from our farms in California for maximum purity. We age our garlic to perfection in a unique 20-month extraction process to eliminate odor and create beneficial compounds found only in Kyolic. Aged garlic extract has been researched in more than 750 published scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA. Studies have focused on cholesterol, high blood pressure, immune stimulation, and all major cardiovascular risk factors. This is the Kyolic difference. So when you're looking for a supplement for great cardiovascular support, reach for the number one best-selling and odorless aged garlic extract, Kyolic. Please visit our website at kyolic.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Good health isn't always by chance, but with planning and commitment, the payoff is priceless. Essential Formulas is proud to offer unparalleled, scientifically proven probiotic formulations that support the body's ability to maintain health from a microbial and cellular level. Our award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics supports your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint, which promotes digestive and whole health. Dr. O'Hara further developed a unique line of skincare products, natural and chemical-free, all with his signature probiotic support. And our RegActive products contain ME3, the only probiotic scientifically proven to actually produce the master antioxidant glutathione within your body to help maintain cellular health during daily exposure to free radicals, common environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Look for Dr. O'Hara's line of probiotic products and RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Hey, would you like a top-rate university-level education in integrative medicine and nutrition? Well, such a comprehensive course is available, and you might think, well, it's going to be pricey, it's going to cost hundreds, perhaps thousands of dollars, or you might have to fly to a remote location to take a course. Well, no, it's free, and it's right at your fingertips. It's the Intelligent Medicine Podcast Series. And it's free for downloading at drhoffman.com. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, your favorite podcast service. There's no strings attached. There's no gimmicks. Just download and listen. You can learn from outstanding experts while you do your chores, drive your car, or commute to work. And literally hundreds of podcasts are archived at drhoffman.com. They're there for the downloading onto your computer or mobile device, and it won't cost you a dime. So why am I doing this? Because I love to get the word out to listeners like you about the remarkable benefits of intelligent medicine. That's my mission statement, and by making it free, I'm hoping to engage as many of you as possible in an ongoing learning process, getting the word out. So if you haven't already, start checking out our Intelligent Medicine podcast at drhoffman.com. And while you're at it, subscribe to our newsletter. Join the thousands of readers who now get timely health updates in their inboxes, again, for free. Get an education, courtesy of yours truly, better your life, better your health, and share the bounty with your family and friends. drhoffman.com, the place to go for intelligent medicine. All right, let's talk to let's talk to David in Wisconsin. How you doing?
Yes, Dr. Hoffman. Yeah. I had my knees replaced here in 2014, and I sprained my ankle really bad in the service in 1952. And
wow, you sprained your ankle. That's how long ago it is. You sprained your ankle the very year I was born.
Yeah, well,
so that's a long time.
Over the years, and now it's gotten real bad. And mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of advertisements where they can take the patient's blood, put it through mm-hmm. a centrifuge, and yeah. inject it into the joint.
It's called PRP, plasma. I'm perseverating on it, but it's a type of injection therapy where they take your blood, spin it down, and put it in. Yeah, okay.
Well, is it possible to regenerate the joint?
There's a shot at it. You know, look, if you've had an injury for, you know, and I happen to know, I can do the math pretty easily because that's my age, that's 62 or 63 years, and it's the ankle, which is a pretty persnickety organ joint.
Right.
You know, it's possible that the structural damage, the arthritis is so severe that just putting some, fresh platelets in, it's called platelet-rich plasma. Putting some platelets in there isn't going to create the growth factors that are necessary for repair, but it's worth trying. It's worth doing. The problem with the ankle is that while we're doing a pretty good job with hip replacements and knee replacements, those are bigger joints, less delicate joints. The ankle is a very complex joint, and ankle replacements are notoriously hard to do. The results are kind of equivocal. And also, you generally don't want to do big, fancy surgery on the foot or the ankle past a certain age because the circulation tends to be poor. And, you know, you have to stand and the blood pools down there and the healing can be complicated and it could be a big mess. So I guess it's worth trying. Platelet-rich plasma, and that's something that some orthopedists and integrative doctors offer. I don't do it personally, but you know, you might give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, then one other thing, Doctor. Are you still there?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm running out of time. We have to break at the bottom of the hour, but when we return, we invite you to call 888-302-3684 is our number. We got lots more to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 in free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we are making it easier
for people to visit me at the Hoffman Center. Here's a special message to Intelligent Medicine listeners. To help make care more affordable and accessible, we forged an alliance with a new laboratory. It's called AccuReference, that accepts all major insurances. So a visit to the Hoffman Center is now that much more economical, because your lab tests are likely to get covered. To become a patient at the Hoffman Center, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. You can find information on the web at drhoffman.com about our procedures, or go to hoffmancenter.com. And the wide gamut of conditions that we address, call 212-779-1744 and take a key step in regaining control of your health. My staff and I look forward to taking care of you. All right, this item, you know, I was in a restaurant the other day, a very fine restaurant here in New York, Gramercy Tavern, and it's a celebration. It was a wedding party, and they have great waiters there, and so they took our orders, and then the waiter very politely asked, and this is more the trend when you go to a restaurant here in Manhattan, are there any allergies that we should be aware of? And I thought for a moment that I felt like saying, well, yes, I eat paleo, so I don't eat any gluten, I don't eat any dairy, I don't drink alcohol, I don't eat any sugar, I don't have any grains at all, and I don't have any legumes. But I decided to just hold my peace and not mess things up and say, no, I'm fine. And you know, if I had a little bit of that stuff that was off my diet, it was okay, because it's a special occasion. Here is an unprecedented incident. In the annals of law, Indian restaurant owner accused of killing customer with curry. Okay, my first thought is, man, that was some hot curry. I mean, I've had some hot curry in my day. Or, you know, sometimes you dip something in a sauce, you think, oh, this is like, it looks nice. And you just saturate a piece of meat or some grain or vegetable in a sauce that you think is mild, and it just, you know, sends you to a paroxysm of coughing. This story from India, the owner of an Indian restaurant killed a customer by serving him a meal that he knew contained potentially lethal peanut powder. See, he was cutting corners, because peanut powder is a lot cheaper than almond powder. The cheap powder contains peanuts as a way of cutting costs. And the medical expert on the case, they had expert testimony from a doctor, said that less than 3 grams of the sauce from the curry would have been sufficient to give rise to the level of peanut in the stomach that killed the patient. This Indian proprietor allegedly failed to warn customers, and Paul Wilson, 38, who was suffering from a severe peanut allergy, died at his home after eating a curry made with a cheaper ingredient. The waiter who took his order and the chef who prepared the meal were both liable for the death of this individual. So they have now convicted him. I don't know whether he's going to go to jail, whether he's, you know, probably not a capital crime in England. I mean, in India, to serve curry with peanut sauce. But it's an open and shut case, a case of manslaughter due to inclusion of potentially deadly food ingredients. All right. Let's talk to Mary in Manhattan. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Mary.
Yes. Hi, Doctor. Doctor, I'm calling up to find out, I'm getting chelation therapy, and I'm wondering what effect this has on your memory, because on several occasions when I got it, somebody asked me a question, a mm-hmm. simple question like, what are you getting now? And
right.
I couldn't, my mind went completely
yeah.
blank.
Yeah.
You've heard of that?
Yeah, I have. So here's the problem. You know, I've actually taught courses to doctors on how to safely perform chelation therapy. I was doing it, you know, as long ago as 20, 25 years ago, because I've been a pioneer in administering chelation therapy in this country. So I know a little bit about the potential problems that can occur during a chelation infusion. And one of the problems that you have to watch out for is low blood sugar. Chelation is a wonderful therapy for diabetes. It actually helps to optimize blood sugar. But if you're sitting there getting chelation and you haven't eaten, and or even if you've eaten and you're sitting there for 3 or 4 hours with no food, it can lower your blood sugar to the point where you feel kind of brain dead. And so, I mean, this is ruling out more serious problems, like, God forbid, you're having a mini stroke. I mean, this would have to be a concern, but it doesn't sound like it was that serious. I mean, the other possibility is that people can sometimes have strokes, you know, getting any kind of procedure. But it doesn't sound like that's what's happening. Your doctor needs to be aware of that possibility. But it sounds like blood sugar could be an issue. In the place where you get chelation, do they give you the opportunity to eat something before and maybe a little snack during your chelation?
No, but I do eat before I go because of that. And I'm only there for an hour. It's not that long.
Okay, so that's another thing. That's not the way I do chelation. That's called a rapid chelation. And when you do rapid chelation, I'm not that keen on doing it that way, because sometimes that's a little too fast administration, especially for, you know, patients a little older, a little more fragile, sometimes can experience problems. So, you know, the other thing that is important, you have to get the right supplementation, because while chelation pulls out heavy metals, the bad stuff like mercury and cadmium and lead, it also pulls out some beneficial minerals. So you have to supplement correctly, and I urge patients to take supplements, especially on the day of chelation, to replenish that. But, you know, just by virtue of the fact that you ate before the chelation, that doesn't rule out the possibility that your blood sugar would drop during the chelation session, and you might feel, you know, kind of woozy or confused, unable to talk. Typically, patients with hypoglycemia kind of feel out of it. You know, it's not uncommon for diabetics who take medication that's designed to lower their blood sugar to get arrested for DUI because they're incoherent, they're driving erratically, mm-hmm. sometimes they crack their cars up, and that's because their blood sugar gets too low. That's an extreme form of hypoglycemia. That's not what happened to you, but maybe that's what's happening. That's a theory anyway. I don't know precisely what's going on, but that's my best shot at it.
But it doesn't affect the memory permanently.
No, it should be a transient thing. In fact, chelation should be very beneficial long-term for your memory, because you're getting toxic heavy metals out of your brain, which is a major cause of dementia, you know, excess lead, cadmium, mercury.
Doesn't it take the cholesterol out of the brain, too?
No, I can't claim that it does. No, I can't claim that it does. It'd be like a Roto-Rooter effect. I don't think that that's what's happening. That should not be a problem. All right, let's talk to Kathy in Iowa. Welcome. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I have kind of looked into the statins and the LDL cholesterol. And the studies they did, from my understanding, was all on 45-year-old healthy males. They didn't do any on women. They didn't do any on older people.
Right.
And from my and this is who the older people and the women, or, you know, the older people are who they're giving these medicines to, a lot of it.
Right.
Now, my understanding is that the LDL cholesterol controls your hormones and your immune system.
Okay. Let me stop you right there. What you say is to some extent true, but it's a little bit of an oversimplification. It's actually true that statins were mostly tested in middle-aged men. And so the use of statins in women and in elderly patients over 75 or 80, is a bit of an extrapolation. In other words, it worked in the middle-aged men, but doesn't necessarily mean that it works as well in women or older individuals who are different. You know, there are some real physiological differences between men and women. And also, as you age, you know, things change. Whether the benefits are the same is unclear. But I got to correct you a little bit. Now they are doing more studies looking at statin use in women. And part of that is it's politics, because there's a great push in society and medicine that says women have been underserved in research, A lot of research, you know, where we find out that drugs work is done in men. So now they're looking more and more at applications to women. That being said, the benefits of statins in women, while they're there for women with pretty advanced cardiovascular disease or high risk, they're not as robust as they are in men who have classic risk factors. So this doesn't mean that there's no place for statins in women, but they're really, you know, you can't say women are just, you know, smaller men with breasts and uteruses. You know, it's different when it comes to cardiovascular disease. When it comes to older people, there's a real concern because, first of all, as you age, you become more delicate, more sensitive. And when you give statins, I mean, the woman earlier made the point, was erroneous. She said, you know, cholesterol is important to the brain, and she thought chelation was pulling cholesterol out of the brain. Well, chelation doesn't pull cholesterol out of the brain, but statins might. And so that is a concern when you're at an age where you might have a higher risk for dementia. Dramatically lowering your cholesterol might not be in your favor. Plus, we know that people who have high cholesterol generally live longer, have a better prognosis than people with very low cholesterol past a certain age, over the age of 70 or 75. So I'm going to read you a study here, which is from the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and it really is troubling. Is they looked at a bunch of Australian cancer patients, many of whom were getting what's called palliative care, which means they knew they were going to die, but they were getting care just to kind of keep them as healthy as possible and to prolong their lives. And it turns out, even in this population of cancer patients over 70, 36% were taking statins. Now, that's pretty crazy because they were getting statins to prevent heart disease when many of them were likely to die of cancer. Now, here's the even worse part of it. In the oldest patients, patients over 80, they were much more likely to experience bodily aches and pains when they were on statins. Very high likelihood of having that sort of achy body thing, you know, a little indefinite, but it was attributable to statins. So it's a waste of time, number one, and it's a disservice to these older patients to put them on statins. So you bring up a good point. You want to ask something about LDL quickly?
Well, yeah. My point is the LDL cholesterol controls your immune system and your hormones.
Well,
now, why would they, in older people, knock that down?
Precisely. Precisely. There is a concern because, you know, cholesterol, in addition to being, you know, the old theory was, oh, it's just some gunk that clogs up your arteries. Well, no, it's actually very, very important for structures in the brain. It's also a building block for all the steroid hormones in the body. So when you dramatically curtail its synthesis with statin drugs, or now they're going to come out with drugs that'll knock your statin into double digits. You know, it's not good enough to get your cholesterol down to 140. Now we want to get your cholesterol down to 60 with newer drugs that are very, very powerful. Well, what's okay? Maybe, just maybe, that could have an impact on cardiovascular disease, but imagine its impact on all the structures of your body and the hormones that
exactly
depend on cholesterol. So I think you make a good point. So you look, listen. We had a very good podcast this week with Dr. Roberts, wrote a book on statin, Dr. Barbara Roberts. Listen to it because it's available for downloading at drhoffman.com. It really sums up some of the arguments that you're making. I thank you for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Good health isn't always by chance, but with planning and commitment, the payoff is priceless. Essential Formulas is proud to offer unparalleled, scientifically proven probiotic formulations that support the body's ability to maintain health from a microbial and cellular level. Our award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics supports your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint, which promotes digestive and whole health. Dr. O'Hara further developed a unique line of skincare products, natural and chemical-free, all with his signature probiotic support. And our RegActive products contain ME3, the only probiotic scientifically proven to actually produce the master antioxidant glutathione within your body to help maintain cellular health during daily exposure to free radicals, common environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Look for Dr. O'Hara's line of probiotic products and RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and you can email us your questions if you care to at radioprogram@AOL.com. You'll have to listen to our weekly Q&A with Layla to hear the answer, because that's what we do. We take your questions and we ponder them on our weekly program and provide you with answers. Radioprogram@AOL.com. All right. Marie in New Jersey, welcome.
Yes, I'm 75 years old. I wear a pacemaker. I wanted to ask you, is there an alternative to a nuclear stress test? Because
well,
that has
depends.
So much radiation.
It depends. Well, why do they want to do a nuclear stress test on you?
Because I'm short of breath.
Okay. So, look, that's a diagnostic test that will tell us if you have poor circulation to the heart. And, look, there is no question, there is radiation associated with that test. After all, it's nuclear or nuclear, as our former President Bush used to like to say. And so, however, we really need to find out why you're short of breath. So other tests that are not nuclear could shed some light on that. You could get an echocardiogram first, see what's going on. You could get an EBT heart scan, which probably involves a little less radiation. It would show if there's plaque in your arteries, but it wouldn't tell us if your heart was performing poorly. You probably do need the nuclear stress test, you know. So I got to say, and people will ask me all the time, you know, second opinion, do I need this? Do I need that? Very often we overtest people. We, you know, in abundance of caution or as a CYA move or even sometimes as a revenue generator, doctors will urge patients to get tests. But in this case, you're short of breath and it might be cardiac and we got to figure out why. So you should get that nuclear stress test. I mean, one can get a test without the thallium. You can insist and say, I just want a regular stress test, the way they used to do it in the old-fashioned days. But it's not as sensitive and accurate for picking up blockage. So that's something that we may want to do with you after all. All right. Sorry to say. I mean, I know, okay. I'm the tell me it ain't so doc. But in this case, I got to tell you that it is so. All right. Speaking of the heart. A lot of people have what is termed hardening of the arteries. That's a very old term, but it's an accurate term. People's arteries literally become stiffer with age, and in particular, when you have cardiovascular risk factors, when you're pre-diabetic and overweight and have a bad cholesterol to HDL ratio, high triglycerides, high homocysteine, high blood pressure. In fact, high blood pressure is a consequence of arterial stiffness. Your blood vessels are no longer as flexible and distensible. So a group of researchers took a look at the effects of 6 months of magnesium supplementation on arterial stiffness in a group of overweight and obese adults. Well, that sounds redundant, overweight and obese. Well, overweight means just overweight. Obese means you cross a certain threshold of BMI and you're beyond just overweight. You really are pronounced excess body fat. So what they did was, and it's interesting, they gave them magnesium citrate, which is not my favorite form of magnesium because it tends to, it's not that well absorbed. And it also tends to cause diarrhea. It's poorly tolerated by many of my patients. But they gave them 350 milligrams of magnesium citrate. And they said magnesium citrate was deliberately chosen, they say, because this type of supplement has a higher bioavailability than other magnesium formulations. That may be. It might be more bioavailable than magnesium oxide. But I prefer things like magnesium glycinate, magnesium threonate, magnesium malate. These are more bioavailable and better tolerated forms of magnesium. Anyway, the patients went through it. Most of them tolerated it. 350 milligrams of elemental magnesium in three separate doses. They had to divide it into three doses for 6 months. And lo and behold, there was a reduction, a substantial reduction in arterial stiffness. They did nothing else. They didn't exercise. They didn't change their diets. They just took magnesium pills, and not even the highest quality magnesium pills, in my opinion. And there was a dramatic effect. So imagine what could happen. They do a study. They put people on magnesium and chiolic and resveratrol, curcumin, olive leaf extract, all these helpful nutrients for the heart and for the blood vessels, pycnogenol, you name it, fish oil. What could happen in terms of arterial stiffness? Just one nutrient made a difference, and that's very exciting. All right, thanks for visiting with us here on Intelligent Medicine. Lots more resources available to you for free at drhoffman.com. We hope you'll take a look at them, check out our podcast, subscribe to our newsletter, read our articles, and become a more informed consumer of medicine. This is Intelligent Medicine. Have a great weekend.